ॐ अग्निर्जुमिनन्दस्य जनार्जनशलाकया चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदा मायां ददति सापनन्तिकम् वन्द्योपतिभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च पतितनं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Prahlad Maharaj was the best of the sons of Hiranyakashipu. Not only was he the best of the sons of Hiranyakashipu, he was the best of devotees, just as his father was the best of demons. Prahlad was the greatest devotee. When Hiranyakashipu took his young son upon his lap and asked him what he had learned, what was the best thing, what he had learned in school, Prahlad very simply answered, Tat saru manye suravarjita dehinam saru samudvigna diyam satgrahat hitvapma pattam kriyamandakupam vanam gutoyad harim ashveta. That one should leave the dark well of material life and go to the forest, especially the best of all forests, Vrindavan, and there take shelter of Lord Hari. So when Hiranyakashipu heard this, he wasn't extremely angry, because he didn't understand the depth that Prahlad was saying this from, the depths of his devotion. Rather, he thought that Prahlad had been influenced by someone at school. And he just laughed, because taking shelter of Lord Hari meant, for Hiranyakashipu, taking shelter of his greatest enemy. He had performed so many austerities, gained so much power to kill Lord Hari, to kill Lord Vishnu. And here, his own son had taken sides with the enemy, was speaking that he too should Harim Ashriyeta take shelter of Lord Hari, the enemy, Vishnu. So he laughed, and he called for the two teachers of the boy, Sandana Mokka, who were the sons of Sukracharya. And he said to them very seriously, be very, very careful. Someone is influencing this boy and making him think in this way, which is so polluted, so contaminated. Don't let this go on. Find out who's doing this. Stop it. So the two teachers, certainly they reassured Hiranyakashipu that they weren't the ones who were teaching this to the boy, because they were, as Prabhupada will explain in one of the purports that we'll read today, is that they were acting as paid Brahmins. When you're in the employ or service of someone, you have to agree with them. Otherwise, you'll be fired, you'll be removed. You have to agree with the boss. So they weren't speaking against the ideals, the polluted ideals of Hiranyakashipu. They reassured him and they took Prahlad and said, don't worry, we'll train him properly. So they said, they took Prahlad alone and they spoke very sweetly to him. They didn't want to scare him at all. They said, Prahlad, such a nice boy, you're so intelligent, so many nice things. Now tell us, where did you learn this knowledge? Where did you learn to take shelter of Vishnu? Who has told you that? None of the other boys are thinking like that. None of the other boys are speaking like that. You alone have that. Now, where did you get this? Who's been influencing you? Who's been contaminating you? Where has this attraction to Hari come from? Because when we find out who this enemy is, we're going to bring him to your father and have him killed. So Prahlad was amazed, because previously he had heard that people think in terms of friends and enemies, that he was astounded that everyone isn't the well-wisher of everyone else. And now he was actually hearing people vehemently express this mood of friends and enemies, killing. So he expressed this to them, and he told them that, how is this? This is the first time I'm actually hearing people speaking this way of friends and enemies. Actually, no one is friend, no one is enemy. And one realizes this when he gets the blessings of the Supersoul. When the Supersoul, when Krishna within everyone's heart is pleased with someone, then he actually doesn't make distinctions between different categories of living entities. Indeed, he sees... He respects everyone as he respects himself. Because he sees, not that everyone is God, but everyone is an eternal servant of God, none different from the Lord. And it's natural, it's the most natural consciousness. Just like it's natural for those family members who have the same parents, or even the same great-great-grandparents, to have common affection. So Krishna is the father of everyone. He's the father of the grandfather, of the great-grandfather of everyone. Aham Bijapada Pita. He's the seed-giving father of every living entity within the universe. So therefore it's natural, he being the father, that to have affection and respect for all the brothers and sisters, all the other living entities. So this is natural. So Prahlad was saying and thinking, this can only be understood when someone actually gains the favor of the Lord. And then he explains where this attraction has come from, not exactly explaining it, but practically speaking, explaining it in the last verse we read last week. As iron is attracted by magnetic stone, naturally, iron is attracted by magnets, by magnet. So similarly, it's not that my attraction to Vishnu or Krishna or the Lord comes from anywhere. It's just natural. And I naturally move towards the Lord, just like a conditioned soul naturally moves away from the Lord. He moves naturally to what? To sense enjoyment. There's a natural attraction between the senses and the sense objects. Indriyas, indriyas yate raga. This attraction is naturally there. But Prahlad was on such a pure, spontaneous platform of love that as the living entity conditioned is attracted by sense enjoyment, and as an iron filings are naturally attracted by a magnet, so similarly Prahlad's consciousness was naturally attracted by Krishna. How wonderful. So after speaking like this, answering that question, where did you learn this from? Actually, I didn't learn it from anywhere. But there are no enemies. Everyone is a servant of God. And my mind is just naturally attracted to the Lord. So Sandaramaukha then began to speak to Prahlad. Text 15. See Narada Vacha, Narada Muni, narrating this to Yudhisthira Maharaj. Narada continued, the great soul Prahlad Maharaj became silent after saying this to his teachers, Sandinamarka, the seminal sons of Sukracharya. These so-called brahmanas then became angry at him. Because they were servants of Hiranyakashipu, they were very sorry. And to chastise Prahlad Maharaj, they spoke as follows. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport there. This is Prabhupada making the point about Brahmins. A Brahmin is strictly prohibited from becoming a servant of anyone else, for that is the business of dogs and sudras. A dog must satisfy his master, but a Brahmin does not have to satisfy anyone. He is simply meant to satisfy Krishna, anukulena Krishna anushilanam. That is the real qualification of a Brahmana. Because Sandinamarka was seminal Brahmanas and had become servants of such a master as Hiranyakashipu, they unnecessarily wanted to chastise Prahlad Maharaj. They had to act as the representative of the demon Hiranyakashipu. They were under his employ. And they couldn't act with integrity, the expression of actual character, brahminical character, which would be to act in relationship in the service of the Lord or Shastra. So they began to speak and chastise Prahlad. Oh, bring me a stick. This Prahlad is damaging our name and fame. Because of his bad intelligence, he has become like a cinder in the dynasty of the demons. Now he needs to be treated by the fourth of the four kinds of political diplomacy. Srila Prabhupada's purport. We'll read the first half. In political affairs, when a person disobediently agitates against the government, four principles are used to suppress him: legal orders, pacification, the offer of a post, or finally weapons. Pacification means the offering of gifts, money, bribes, like that. Someone's giving trouble. Yeah, you order him to stop. If he doesn't stop, then you give him some material goods to try to buy him off. And if that doesn't work, you offer him a post, a position. And if that doesn't work, finally, argumentum ad baculum, the argument of the stick, brute force. When there are no other arguments, Prabhupada continues, in other words, if he doesn't submit to the others, this is polity, this is politics. If there are no other arguments, if he doesn't submit, he is punished. In logic, this is called argumentum ad baculum. When the two seminal brahmanas, Sandinamarka, failed to extract from Prahlad Maharaj the cause of his having opinions different from those of his father, they called for a stick with which to chastise him to satisfy their master, Hiranyakashipu. Because Prahlad had become a devotee, they considered him to be contaminated by bad intelligence and to be the worst descendant in the family of demons. As it is said, where ignorance is bliss, it is a folly to be wise. In a society or family in which everyone is a demon, for someone to become a Vaishnava is certainly folly. Why? Because he'll be chastised and punished and criticized. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj was charged with bad intelligence because he was among demons, including his teachers, who were supposedly Brahmins. In the second half of the Prabhupada explains that the position of the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement is something like the situation of Prahlad, in that it's going completely against the contemporary mood, the dominant mood of society, which is gross materialism. So Sandinamarka was saying this boy needs to be chastised very strongly. We've tried to be nice to him, we spoke sweetly to him. Text 17. This rascal Prahlad has appeared like a thorn tree in a forest of sandalwood. So the dynasty of Hiranyakashipu, his family members, they're the fragrant sandalwood, and Prahlad, from their point, the Brahmin's point of view, the so-called Brahmin's point of view, is like a thorn tree. To cut down sandalwood trees, an axe is needed. and the wood of the thorn tree is very suitable for the handle of such an axe. Lord Vishnu is the axe for cutting down the sandalwood forest of the family of demons, and this Prahlad is the handle for that axe. So using this Prahlad, Vishnu is going to kill all the members of the dynasty of Hiranyakashipu. Purport. Thorn trees generally grow in deserted places, in deserts actually, not in sandalwood forests. But the seminal Brahmanas, Sandinamarka, compared the dynasty of the Daitya, Hiranyakashipu, to a sandalwood forest, and compared Prahlad Maharaj to a hard, strong thorn tree that could provide the handle of an axe. They compared Lord Vishnu to the axe itself. An axe alone cannot cut a thorn tree. It needs a handle, which may be made of the wood of a thorn tree. Thus, the thorn tree of demonic civilization can be cut to pieces by the axe of Vishnu Bhakti, devotional service to Lord Krishna. Some of the members of the demonic civilization, like Prahlad Maharaj, may become the handle for the axe to assist Lord Vishnu, and thus the entire forest of demonic civilization can be cut to pieces. So Prabhupada wanted those born of the thorns, the devotees who weren't exactly like sandalwood trees, but more like thorn trees. The thorn tree is useful only when you're walking through the forest to give you trouble. But some of those thorn trees can have another use. The use of being made into the handle that an axe can be attached to. And that axe can cut down the demonic thorn tree forest of Western modern technological, cruel, exploitative civilization. That was Prabhupada's desire. Text 18. Sandinamarka, the teacher of Prahlad Maharaj, chastised and threatened their disciple in various ways, and began teaching him about the paths of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. This is the way they educate. So they chastised him and tried to subdue him and threatened him and taught him and taught him and taught him and taught him, trying to get him to learn the values which they themselves valued. Materialism. And give up his tendency for Krishna Bhakti. We'll read the last part of the purport. There are four principles: dharma, religion; artha, economic development; kama, sense gratification; and moksha, liberation. People accept religion to become materially opulent. And why should one be materially opulent? For sense gratification. So the purpose of dharma, for a materialist, the purpose of religiosity is what? Kama, or sense enjoyment. And moksha, the purpose of, sense gratification. Thus people prefer these three margs, the three paths of material life. No one is interested in liberation, and Bhagavat Bhakti, devotional service to the Lord, is above even liberation. Therefore, the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is extremely difficult to understand. This will be explained later by Prahlad Maharaj. The teacher, Sandinamarka, tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the materialistic way of life, but actually their attempt was a failure. So the process of devotional service is extremely difficult to understand when one's consciousness is fixed on enjoyment. Matirna Krishna Paratak Spatova, that's the verse that Prahlad will say later. That one inclination of the mind will never turn to Krishna. It will never go to Krishna, no matter who says anything to you. If one has a deep desire, has a desire to enjoy sense pleasures, if that's the purpose of his life. Has taken Grihavrata, the vow to enjoy a materialistic household life. Therefore, the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is extremely difficult to understand. This will be explained later by Prahlad Maharaj. The teacher Sandana Marka tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the materialistic way of life, but actually their attempt was a failure. After some time, the teacher Sandana Marka thought that Prahlad Maharaj was sufficiently educated in the diplomatic affairs of pacifying public leaders, appeasing them by giving them lucrative posts, dividing and ruling over them, and punishing them in cases of disobedience. Then, one day, after Prahlad's mother had personally washed the boy and dressed him nicely with sufficient ornaments, they presented him before his father. They thought they had cleansed his mind sufficiently of his Vishnu Bhakti contamination. So they had reprogrammed him, they thought. So then they wanted to present to their father the fruit of all their excellent teaching. So they dressed him nicely, his mother dressed him nicely, and they brought him to his father. Here's Prabhupada's purport. It is essential for a student who is going to be a ruler or a king to learn the four diplomatic principles. There is always rivalry between a king and his citizens. Therefore, when a citizen agitates the public against the king, the duty of the king is to call him and try to pacify him with sweet words, saying, "You are very important to the state. Why should you disturb the public with some new cause for agitation?" If the citizen is not pacified, the king should then offer him some lucrative post as a governor or a minister, any post that draws a high salary, so that he may be agreeable. If the enemy still goes on agitating the public, the king should try to create dissension in the enemy's camp. But if he still continues, the king should employ argumentum ad baculum, severe punishment, by putting him in jail or placing him before a firing squad. This is the practical politics of what really goes on. The teachers appointed by Hiranyakashipu taught Prahlad Maharaj how to be a diplomat so that he could rule over the citizens very nicely. Text 20. When Hiranyakashipu saw that the child had fallen at his feet, so they brought Prahlad before for his father, and the boy, being very respectful, offered his father obeisances, fell at his feet. So when Hiranyakashipu saw that his child had fallen at his feet and was offering obeisances, as an affectionate father, he immediately began showering blessings upon the child and embraced him with both arms. A father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very happy in this way. Narada Muni continued, "My dear Yudhisthira, Hiranyakashipu seated Prahlad Maharaj on his lap and began smelling his head, affectionately bringing him closer, with affectionate tears gliding down from his eyes and moistening the child's smiling face. He spoke to his son as follows. Hiranyakashipu said, "My dear Prahlad, my dear son, O long-lived one, for so much time you have heard many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge." What is the best knowledge? You have heard from your teachers. So Hiranyakashipu had asked Prahlad one time this question, and he had told him to go to the forest and take shelter of Vishnu, because you're getting so entangled in materialistic life and sense gratification, is going to bring you to hell. So give this up and take shelter of the Lord. Now he's tried to reprogram Prahlad and is asking the same question. Here's Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, Hiranyakashipu inquires from his son what he has learned from his guru. Prahlad Maharaj's gurus were of two kinds. Sandanamarka, the sons of Sukracharya, in the seminal disciplic succession were the gurus appointed by his father. But his other guru was the exalted Narada Muni, who had instructed Prahlad when Prahlad was in the womb of his mother. And those instructions we're going to hear later. Prahlad will speak those to his school friends. Prahlad Maharaj responded to the inquiry of his father with the instructions he had received from his spiritual father, Narada. Thus there was again a difference of opinion, because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to relate the best thing he had learned from his spiritual master, whereas Hiranyakashipu expected to hear about the politics and diplomacy Prahlad had learned from Sandanamarka. Now the dissension between the father and son became increasingly intense as Prahlad Maharaj began to say what he had learned from his guru, Narada Muni. So, these two verses, 23 and 24, are very important and very famous. So we'll read them and read Srila Prabhupada's, or most of Prabhupada's purport to them. What is the best thing you have learned from your guru? So his guru was Narada Muni, and Prahlad replied, answering, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhakti Chainavalakshana Kreta Bhagavatya Datanmanye Aditamuttamam. So these verses define what bhakti is, what Krishna consciousness is. What is the best thing you have learned? Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So these nine are the essence, the best of all learning, from Prabhupada's purport from the beginning. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father to say something from whatever he had learned, he considered that what he had learned from his spiritual master was the best of all teachings, whereas what he had learned about diplomacy from his material teachers, Sandanamarka, was useless. Bhakti Pareshano Bhava Varaktir Nyatra Cha. This is the symptom of pure devotional service. A pure devotee is interested only in devotional service, not in material affairs. To execute devotional service, one should always engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna or Lord Vishnu. So if one has this taste, as Prahlad Maharaj deeply had it, then one doesn't have the other taste for material learning. A few paragraphs later, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following explanation in his Tatya. The word Shravana, Prabhupada is now going to give quotations or express what his spiritual master Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained in his commentary about this verse. And basically he's going to go through each of the nine different processes of devotional service and say something about each one. The word Shravana refers to giving oral reception to the holy name and descriptions of the Lord's form, qualities, entourage, and pastimes, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar authorized scriptures. After orally receiving such messages, one should memorize these vibrations and repeat them, kirtanam. Smarana means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord. And parasevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstances. Archanam means worshipping Lord Vishnu as one does in the temple. And vandanam means offering respectful obeisances, or as Prabhupada will, or prayers, I'll say that in a moment. Manmana bhava, and vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Vandanam means namaskuru, offering obeisances, or offering prayers. Thinking oneself to be Nitya Krishna Dasa, everlastingly a servant of Krishna, is called Dasyam. And Sakya means being a well-wisher of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to surrender to him because everyone is constitutionally his servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto Krishna. Atmanivedana means offering everything, offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one may possess. One sincere endeavor to perform these nine processes of devotional service is technically called bhakti. The word adha means directly. One should not be like the karmis who perform pious activities and then formally offer the results to Krishna. That is karma kanda. One should not aspire for the results of his pious activities, but should dedicate oneself fully and then act piously. In other words, one should act for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, not for the satisfaction of his own senses. That is the meaning of the word adha. Adha, directly. Anya vilasita sunyam gyanakama anavritam anakulena krishna nashilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. One should simply satisfy Krishna without being influenced by fruitive knowledge or fruitive activity. So the basic concept is, as Prabhupada has stated just before, that one should first, to perform pure bhakti, one should first think himself Krishna, Nitya Krishna Das, the servant of Krishna. And then in that mood, in the mood of trying to please Krishna, then one acts piously or properly. So one should dedicate oneself fully first. One should surrender to Krishna first and then act. And that's what bhakti is. And the actions have no other desire. Anya bilasita means other desires. So there should be no other desires in the basic natural core consciousness of the devotee other than to act for Krishna's pleasure. And then one's actions in that regard are called pure devotional service. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana kama anavrita. So there should be no mood of acting selfishly to gain anything for themselves, either speculative knowledge or fruit of karmic activities, and then to act positively to please Krishna, anukulena, that cultivation of favorable activities, Krishna anushilana, that cultivation is called uttama bhakti, or pure devotional service. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad says that the word bhakti means engagement in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not of anyone else. This Upanishad describes that bhakti is the offering of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To perform devotional service, one should be relieved of the bodily conception of life and aspirations to be happy through elevation to the higher planetary systems. In other words, work performed simply for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, without any desire for material benefits, is called bhakti. Bhakti is also called nishkarma, or freedom from the results of fruitive activities. Bhakti and nishkarma are on the same platform, although devotional service and fruitive activities appear almost the same externally. They appear almost the same. The 9 different processes enunciated by Prahlad Maharaj, who learned them from Narada Muni, may not all be required for the execution of devotional service. If a devotee performs only one of these 9 without deviation, he can attain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes it is found that one performs one of the processes, other processes are mixed with it. That is not improper for a devotee. When a devotee executes any one of the 9 processes, Navalakshana, this is sufficient. The other 8 processes are included. Now let us discuss these 9 different processes. Shravanam. Hearing of the holy name of the Lord, Shravanam, is the beginning of devotional service. Why? Because one must hear first to get the idea. And in that hearing, it's not just hearing, but it's hearing from a pure and proper source. And that hearing is not material. It's not like we hear anything of the material world, but there is a transcendental quality to that hearing that places in the heart a spiritual aspiration or shraddha or faith. So therefore, it is the beginning of devotional service. Although any one of the 9 processes is sufficient, in chronological order, the hearing of the holy name of the Lord is the beginning. Indeed, it is essential. As enunciated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is cleansed of the material conception of life, which is due to the dirty modes of material nature. When the dirt is cleansed from the core of one's heart, one can realize the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha. Thus, by hearing the holy name of the Lord, one comes to the platform of understanding the personal form of the Lord. So one has to hear about the chanting, then one can chant, and then one can hear the chanting again. So the processes become mixed with each other. Before we can chant, we have to hear that we should chant. Or hear someone else chanting and then imitate it. There are so many people who began chanting Hare Krishna just imitating the devotees chanting Krishna's names. After realizing the Lord's form, one can realize the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And when one can understand His transcendental qualities, one can understand the Lord's associates. In this way, a devotee advances further and further towards complete understanding of the Lord as he awakens in realization of the Lord's holy name, transcendental form and qualities, His paraphernalia, and everything pertaining to Him. Therefore, the chronological process is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. The same process of chronological understanding holds true in chanting and remembering. When the chanting of the holy name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia is heard from the mouth of a pure devotee, his hearing and chanting are very pleasing. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the chanting of an artificial devotee or non-devotee. Hearing from the text of Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the most important process of hearing. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental chanting of the holy name. And therefore the chanting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendentally full of mellows. The transcendental holy name of the Lord may be heard and chanted according to the attraction of the devotee. One may chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, or one may chant the holy name of Lord Rama, or Nisringadev, Ramadi Mudasukala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord has innumerable forms and names, and devotees may meditate upon a particular form and chant the holy name according to his attraction. The best course is to hear the holy name, form, and so on from a pure devotee of the same standard as oneself. In other words, one who is attached to Krishna should chant and hear from other pure devotees who are also attached to Lord Krishna. The same principle applies for devotees attracted by Lord Ram, Lord Nisringadev, and other forms of the Lord. Because Krishna is the ultimate form of the Lord, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Sayam, it is best to hear about Lord Krishna's name, form, and pastimes from a realized devotee who is particularly attracted by the form of Lord Krishna. So that's what Prabhupada meant by one should hear from a pure devotee of the same standard as oneself. That is called Sajatiya. Sajatiya Vaishnava. One who is in the same family or the same mood, who has the same taste. So Prabhupada concluding this part over here by saying that one should hear specifically from a pure devotee who is of the same, who has the same taste and who is particularly attracted by the form of Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees like Sukadeva Goswami have specifically described Lord Krishna's holy name, form, and qualities. Unless one hears about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand the other processes of devotional service. If one doesn't hear, how can one chant about? If one doesn't hear, how can one remember? There will be no content to his speaking or his remembering. So hearing Shravanadi Jal, hearing, especially hearing, or primarily hearing, of the first order hearing is the water that makes that Sechi Nitya Shravanadi Jal makes the plant or the creeper of our devotional service grow. If one, therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one chant the holy name of Krishna, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. If one is fortunate enough to hear from the mouth of realized devotees, he is very easily successful on the path of devotional service. Therefore, hearing of the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord is essential. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11, there is this verse. Tadvag vishago janatagga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abhidan vataptyati namanyanantasya yasho ankitaniyat shrinvanti gayanti gananti sarva. Verses describing the name, form, and qualities of Anantadev, the unlimited Supreme Lord, are able to vanquish all the sinful reactions of the entire world. Therefore, even if such verses are improperly composed, devotees hear them, describe them, and accept them as bona fide and authorized. In this connection, Srila Swami has remarked that a pure devotee takes advantage of another pure devotee by trying to hear from him about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord. If there is no such opportunity, he alone chants and hears the Lord's holy name. 2. Kirtanam. The hearing of the holy name has been described above. Now let us try to understand the chanting of the holy name, which is the second item in the consecutive order. It is recommended that such chanted be performed very loudly. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says that without shame he began traveling all over the world chanting the holy name of the Lord. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised Shrinarapi Sinitena Turodapi Sahisnuna Manina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. A devotee can very peacefully chant the holy name of the Lord by being more humbly, by behaving more humbly than the grass, being tolerant like a tree and offering respects to everyone without expecting honor from anyone else. Such qualifications make it easier to chant the holy name of the Lord. The process of transcendental chanting can be easily performed by anyone, even if one is physically unfit, classified lower than others, devoid of material qualifications, or not at all elevated in terms of pious activities. The chanting of the holy name is beneficial. An aristocratic birth, an advanced education, beautiful bodily features, wealth, or similar results of pious activities are all unnecessary for advancement in spiritual life. For one can very easily advance simply by chanting the holy name. It is understood from the authoritative source of Vedic literature that especially in this age, Kali Yuga, people are generally short-lived, extremely bad in their habits, and inclined to accept methods of devotional service that are not bona fide. Moreover, they are always disturbed by material conditions, and they are most unfortunate. Under the circumstances, the performance of other processes such as Jagya Dana Tapan Kriya, sacrifice, charity, and so on, are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended Harirnama, Harirnama, Harirnama Eva Kevalam, Kaloa Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiyani Atta. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one advances perfectly in spiritual life. This is the best process for success in life. In other ages, the chanting of the holy name is equally powerful. But especially in this age, it is most powerful because nothing else is effective. In this age, people can cling to the holy name due to the great anxiety of this age. Everyone continuously, sometimes interrupted, sometimes continuous, but everyone gets so much anxiety, full of anxieties. And those anxieties turn into a great friend if we see them as sent by Krishna to induce us to take shelter of his holy names. So because of the anxieties that Kali Yuga is laden with, people have so much impetus due to their distress to take shelter of Krishna's names. And therefore it is so effective. It's always effective. In Kali Yuga, practically no one can perform any other process of self-realization. So it is most powerful, especially in Kali Yuga. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambraji. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is liberated and returns home back to Godhead. Therefore, even if one is able to perform other processes of devotional service, one must adopt the chanting of the holy name as the principal method of advancing in spiritual life. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. Those who are very sharp in their intelligence should adopt this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. One should not, however, manufacture different types of chanting. One should adhere seriously to the chanting of the holy name as recommended in the scriptures. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. While chanting the holy name of the Lord, one should be careful to avoid 10 offenses. From Sanat Kumar, it is understood that even if a person is a severe offender in many ways, he is freed from offensive life if he takes shelter of the Lord's holy name. Indeed, even if a human being is no better than a two-legged animal, he will be liberated if he takes shelter of the holy name of the Lord. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. The offenses are described as follows: to blaspheme a devotee, especially a devotee engaged in broadcasting the the Lord's holy name. Excuse me. Broadcasting the glories of the holy name. We should be especially careful not to blaspheme devotees, especially those engaged in broadcasting the glories of the holy name. B, or two, to consider the name of Lord Shiva or any other demigod to be equally as powerful as the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor is anyone superior to him. Indeed, all the demigods gain their powers and their positions by the potency of the Lord. So they're neither equal to nor independent of the Lord. C. To disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. D. To blaspheme the Vedic literatures and literatures compiled in pursuance of the Vedic literatures. E. 5. To comment that the glories of the holy name of the Lord are exaggerated. F. To interpret the holy name in a deviant way. G. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. H. To compare the chanting of the holy name to pious activities. I. To instruct the glories of the holy name to a person who has no understanding of the chanting of the holy name. J. Not to awaken in transcendental attachment for the chanting of the holy name even after hearing all these scriptural injunctions. There is no way to atone for any of these offenses. It is therefore recommended that an offender at the feet of the holy name continue to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. Constant chanting of the holy name will make one free of offenses, and then he will gradually be elevated to the transcendental platform on which he can chant the pure holy name and thus become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is recommended that even if one commits offenses, one should continue chanting the holy name. In other words, the chanting of the holy name makes one offenseless. In the book Namakamudi, it is recommended that if one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he should submit to that Vaishnava and be excused. Similarly, if one is an offender in chanting the holy name, he should submit to the holy name and thus be freed from his offenses. In this connection, there is the following statement spoken by Daksha to Lord Shiva. I did not know the glories of your personality, and therefore I committed an offense at your lotus feet in the open assembly. You are so kind, however, that you did not accept my offense. Instead, when I was falling down because of accusing you, you saved me by your merciful glance. You are most great. Kindly excuse me and be satisfied with your own exalted qualities. One should be very humble and meek to offer one's desires and chant prayers composed in glorification of the holy name, such as Ayi Muktikular Upasyamanam and Navrittatashaya Upagiyamanam. One should chant such prayers to become free from offenses at the lotus feet of the holy name. Does anyone know where that Ayi Muktikular Upasyamanam? Anyone know where that's from? The other Navrittatashaya Upagiyamanam is from the Gorba Stuti, the prayers of the demigods to the Lord when he was in the womb, in the early chapters, maybe the second chapter of the 10th canto. 3. Smaranam. After one regularly performs the process of hearing and chanting, and after the core of one's heart is cleansed, smaranam, remembering, is recommended. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11, Sukadev Goswami tells King Pariket, Itanna vidyamananam icchatam makuto bayam yoginam vipanirnitam harinam anukirtanam. O King, for great yogis who have completely renounced all material connections, for those who desire all material enjoyment, and for those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is recommended. So for everyone, those who renounce, those who desire material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied due to their knowledge. So again, akama sava kama va moksha kama dadati tibrena bhakti yogeni adhikta purushapara. According to different relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are varieties of namanukirtanam, chanting of the holy name. And thus, according to different relationships and mellows, there are five kinds of remembering. These are as follows. Conducting research into the worship of a particular form of the Lord. 2. B. Concentrating the mind on one subject and withdrawing the mind's activities of thinking, feeling, and willing from others, from all other subjects. C. Concentrating on a particular form of the Lord. This is called meditation. D. Concentrating one's mind continuously on the form of the Lord. This is called dhruva anusmriti, or perfect meditation. And E. Awakening a likening for concentration on a particular form. This is called samadhi, or trance. Mental concentration upon particular pastimes of the Lord in particular circumstances is also called remembrance. Therefore, samadhi, trance, can be possible in five different ways in terms of one's relationship. Specifically, the trance of devotees on the stage of neutrality is called mental concentration. 4. Padasevanam. According to one's taste and strength, hearing and chanting and remembering may be followed by padasevanam. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. Being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called padasevanam. When one is particularly adherent to the process of padasevanam, this process gradually includes other processes such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the form or temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, or Mathura to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges or Jamuna. Bathing in the Ganges and serving a pure Vaishnava are also known as Tadiya Upasanam. This is also Padasevanam. The word Tadiya means in relationship with the Lord. Service to the Vaishnavas, to the Vaishnava, Tulsi, Ganges, and Yamuna are included in Padasevanam. All these processes of Padasevanam help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. So, there's quite a bit more in this purport. So, we won't finish it today, but Krishna willing, we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.